السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Allah Ta'ala accept your sacrifice, your qurbani. Allah Ta'ala be pleased. And Allah Ta'ala make us all His. Allah Ta'ala connect us all with Him. Make us all His. So this few reminders before we get ready for Fajr Salah. One is that if Allah Ta'ala wills, then tonight the moon will be sighted for Dhul Hijjah. So as you probably been made aware already, that these are very, very auspicious days and nights. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that there are no other days in which Allah Ta'ala loves to be worshipped like how He loves to be worshipped in these days and nights. The virtue is a person who makes ibadah on these nights, the first 10 nights of Zulhijjah. And every night that he engages in ibadat, he gets the sawab of Laylatul Qadr. So it doesn't mean that the person has to stay awake the entire night, even a portion of the night. The minimum that a person can do is read the Isha Salah with Jama'at and read the Fajr Salah with Jama'at. That's the minimum. But nobody wants to remain in economy class. Everybody is trying to work up. So you don't want to just make do with the bare minimum now. So if Morana, for supper, if he just gave us bread and vinegar, that would have also been supper. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate like that. Just bread and vinegar. That too would have been supper. But now, rice is prepared, naan is prepared, curry is prepared, then there's cool drinks, water, how many different things. So in our deen, why must we then just be satisfied with the bare minimum? We must want to increase over there also, get better over there also. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to try and spend some portion of the nights in ibadat. And then a person who fasts during the day, any of these days, the first 9 days of Zulhijjah, then the person receives the sawab of having fasted for a whole year. For every day, he has the sawab of fasting for one whole year. And on the 9th of Zulhijjah, what we call Yawm Arafah, obviously for the Hujjaj, whenever he's there, Yawm Arafah is theirs. But for us here, whenever is the 9th, that's our Yawm Arafah. So the person who fasts on that day, so he will get the sawab of 1 year. And over and above that, his gunas, his sins of the previous year and the coming year are all forgiven. All his minor gunas, whatever mistakes the person may make, Allah Ta'ala forgives it. Major gunas, obviously, that we have to seek proper forgiveness. If there are hukuk involved, then those hukuk also need to be sorted out. But our minor sins will all be forgiven. So these are great days, good times ahead for us. Allah Ta'ala keep us in good health, and Allah Ta'ala free us and allow for us to, you know, exert ourselves. The pious people, they used to look forward to the winter months. Because they used to say that in winter, it's very easy to fast. The days are shorter. And it's cooler. You don't feel too thirsty. You don't get too tired, etc. And then the nights are long. So you can engage in ibadat also and still have a good sleep also. You can have a good sleep and you can still wake up for tahajjud, engage in ibadah. So they used to look forward to the cold months, the winter months, for the shorter days and you got longer nights. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Last night we mentioned with regards to going directly to the Quran Sharif without the proper guidance. So sometime if you're going to go directly to Quran Sharif, Hadith Sharif without the proper guidance, then we can be misled. So there was, I'll just give you one incident. There was a youngster, he had started attending the majalis of our late Sheikh Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So he was in university, normal youngster, average youngster going to university, got his friends and whatever. And Allah Ta'ala guided him, he started coming for the majalis. Then after some time, now obviously certain changes started coming on him. He started now reading namaz, growing a beard, topi came on his head, started wearing kurta, he abandoned all his shirts and pants and all those things. And then after some time, he just went missing. Not in the program anymore. So, first program on, I thought maybe he's not well or something, out of town or whatever. But after the second week also, he didn't come. So Morana made some inquiries. Where's this youngster, you know? So, when people found out, then they reported back to Morana that this fellow has gone off the rails. Took his beard out, his back partying. And Morana said, no, tell him I want to see him. If he doesn't come to me, then I'll come to him. So he came to see Morana. So what had happened was, now his friends, prior to that, now whoever's birthday it is, they must, you know, have a party and exchange some gifts. All these are Christian customs, not Muslim customs. So nothing to do with Islam. But unfortunately, it's come into our lives also, celebrating birthdays and all these things. So it was his birthday. So his old friends now from university, they think, you know, what are we going to do with this fellow now? We can't take him for party anyway. And what can we buy for him now? He's became a buzurg now. You know, what are we going to do for him? So in those long time back, this incident, now that time all these CDs came out, you know. So they went to one of the Islamic bookshops and they found the CD that had the Siha Sitta on it, meaning Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, Ibn Majah, Nasai, all the canonical works of Hadith. So they said, man, this is the right thing to buy for him. So they bought this CD for him and they gave it to him. Now, this youngster, he excited now, he puts this thing into his computer and, well, which kitab to start off with first? So, Bukhari Sharif. The students, when they go to study, they end off with Bukhari Sharif. But we, when we want to study Hadith, the first book we pick up is Bukhari Sharif. So now he opens chapters there, he finds a chapter on Taqdeer. So there, he reads a Hadith Sharif that every person's taqdeer is decreed, right? So a person, his whole life, he can do good. And then when he comes to the end of his life, there's just now a hand span between him and Jannat. His taqdeer then takes over. And he will commit something of the people of hellfire. And then he ends up in Jannah. And the opposite is also there. That a person his whole life, he does deeds of the people of hellfire. And then when it's just a hand span between him and hellfire, his taqdeer takes over. And then he does something of the people of Jannah. And now he becomes an inmate of Jannah and he is protected from Jahannam. This youngster said, now I read that hadith. And then I said, well, what am I making effort for? I rather just party, rather just live my life, because at the end of the day, no matter what I do, my taqdeer is going to take over. Even if I live a pious life, but if I'm written to be from the people of Jahannam, the people of the fire. Then at the end of it all, I'm going to do something and end up in the fire. And if I live an impious life, I just have a good party and carry on, and I come to the end, my taqdeer will take over, and I'll do something that will be for the people of Jannah, and I'll go to Jannah. Now that is what he literally understood from the hadith. But that's not the purport of the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith sharif, is educating us that see, do not become complacent. You have iman, carrying out nek amal, do not become complacent. Don't think now, okay, I'm okay now, I'm sorted out. No. Always have a worry. Because we're going to be judged on how we pass away. And keep thanking Allah Ta'ala. Never think it's my own doings. Keep thanking Allah Ta'ala, because it is only Allah Ta'ala that's keeping me on Sirat Mustaqim. If Allah Ta'ala wills, I'll be gone. And the person who is on kufr, who is on sins, there's a lot of hope for him also. That look, until you're alive, you're not written off. Until you are alive, you're not written off. Even right in the end also, if you bring iman, you can go to Jannah. Now he took the wrong message. So you find in this era that we are living in, where apartheid is now something long forgotten, like, you know, it's long, long ago there was apartheid. Many of our children that are growing up now, they don't even know what this apartheid is about. They may be learning one, two things in the school about apartheid in the history, but they never experienced it. They don't know what it's about, like. And the people are becoming less concerned about race and, like, friends. Now you'll find, I mean, when we were growing up, you only had Indian friends. That's, you couldn't mix with anybody else. You were in school with only Indians. Coloreds had their own school. African people had their own school. White people, you couldn't touch them. Right? They were somewhere else. You couldn't travel with them. You couldn't shop with them. You enter a shop, there's a different queue for non-whites and different queue for whites. You stopped at a garage. You can't use the toilet that the white man is using. Non-whites got their own toilet. White people got their own toilet. So now it's not like that. Everything is all khalat malat, rainbow nation. Everything is all mixed up. With the result, everybody interacts with everybody. Everybody interacts with everybody. And then you come to know people of other religions, you come to know people of other races. Right? Sometimes, as a Cape Townian, right, if you are a Cape Townian, you lived in Cape Town all your life, you want to try out some Durban cuisine also. Durban cuisine, it seems tasty. And Durban people, they come to Cape Town, have to have cook sisters. That's what Cape Town got on offer. I must eat snook, I must have cook sisters, I must go to fish on the rocks there. So I have to try out what's in Cape Town. It's just natural. Wherever you go, now you want to try out the things of that place. So insan is an explorer. You try out different things, you want to do different things. So now when you start mixing with different people, so now the thought comes also. So all the time having Malay cookie. Now, before we couldn't talk with the white girls. Now the white girls are also becoming available. And we didn't know they're so open like this. We thought they're very far away, you can't touch them. Now you see, they are also same nakas. In fact, they more loose than the other women. So now the person wants to get involved with the white woman, get involved with the whatever type, Chinese, Japanese, whatever, money, all of them just say money, please. You know? Whichever one. As long as you got the money, then you're in the game. illa mashallah, you'll get some sincere ones. Eh? So now what happens, a person sometime is dabbling around and then he feels he fell in love now. Either he fell in love or he fell into desire. One of the two. Gets a bit blurry, cloudy, can't make out whether it's desire or it's love. But now that girl may be not, she's not a Muslimah. If she's Muslimah, no problem. She's Muslimah and she's got taqwa. Then there's no problem at all. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice to us, his instruction to us is that when you're getting married, get married and choose piety. So as long as a girl is pious, now there's no problem. Obviously, there can be complications if you marry somebody that's not your type. That also we have been encouraged in our deen to marry our kuf. Marry within your type, because then there's less complications. You marry out of your type, can be a lot of complications. So if the lady is Muslimah and she's got taqwa, then there's no problem at all. But now if the lady is non-Muslim. Now if she's mushrika, she's an idol worshipper, or she's a majusia, she's a fire worshipper, or Buddhist. So now there's no chance. Eh? She doesn't want to become Muslimah. This boy, he wants to marry her, but she's not interested in becoming Muslimah. So you got a stumbling block now, right? But now if she's Kitabia, so-called Kitabia, if she's a Christian or she's a Jew, now the person is in love now. He wants this woman. He's either desirous of her or he's in love with her, one of the two. He wants her. Now, he finds all the ayat. Right? The Quran Sharif also gives permission that you can marry the Kitabia. So now the person says, well, I got permission. She doesn't even have to become Muslim. She doesn't even have to become Muslim, right? I can marry her. Right? But now, you can't take deen in isolation. Right? This is the ayat giving permission. And then you got the directive of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling you, فَالْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. They choose a lady for her deen, you'll be successful. Now, how are you going to reconcile this now? Now, if you go to the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum who married the Kitabiya woman, right? What was the condition of their iman? Somebody is drowning, right? We got somebody the size of Uncle Yusuf or Uncle Amin or somebody, Allah Ta'ala make hifazat. Right? The person is drowning, the water is pulling him away. And then we take Khatib there and we tell him, go pull Uncle Yusuf out. What's going to happen? He's going to go with Uncle Yusuf. Now, to pull Uncle Yusuf out, now we'll need somebody, you know, somebody who's pumping iron and, you know, 6 foot tall, good swimmer. You know what I mean? You can grab him and say, right, you just hold on to me and pull him out. So the Kitabia woman is drowning in kufr. When Quran Sharif says you can marry a Kitabia, that doesn't mean she must remain Kitabia. You want to marry a wife and she's going to go to Jahannam. How are you going to do that? So the idea is not for her to remain as a Kitabia. So these Sahaba, their iman was so strong that from day one, that woman came into their lives. She had to live like a Muslimah. Although she was a Kitabia, she had to live like a Muslimah. Right? And within a short while, she accepted Islam. She became exposed to the life of a Muslim. She saw the beauty of Islam. She accepted Islam. Right? Today's time, the first question you got to ask yourself is, are there kitabiya left? The people that say that they are Christians, today's time, they are not Christian, they are mushrika. They don't believe in one Allah. They are mushrika. Right? The people that call themselves Jew today, they are not Jew. They don't follow the Torah. They follow the Talmud. What they got? Talmud. Talmud. They are following that. They are not following the Torah. So these are not kitabiyya, right? So that's the first contention. Second contention is, where's my iman? Where's my iman? How practicing am I to bring somebody who is on kufr? Right? So what is noticed in today's time is, instead of the Muslim bringing that kitabiyya onto Islam, the Muslim gets influenced that way. The Muslim gets influenced the other way. Now, in today's time, generally what happens, not in all cases, generally, the man is already courting this woman. Courting in the sense that maybe they're meeting coffee shop, maybe they're talking, whatever. So she is exposed to that kind of Islam. And when he marries her, he's not putting his foot down from the first day. Oh no, carry on now. You know. When is he going to put his foot down? So it becomes a very, very dangerous situation for your own iman. And then what happens with the children? You got a person who's a Hanafi, another person is a Shafi. The girl is Shafi, boy is Hanafi, or vice versa, or whatever. This is totally no problem at all. But even there, there's confusion. I know one, two Hanafi girls got married here in Cape Town. They came to study in the university. They met a good Cape Townian and they settled down. But the husband is Shafi, the girl is Hanafi. In the first couple of years now, they're sending you masail regarding zakat. Because the Shafi masla, one, two masail pertaining to zakat is different. The Hanafi masla is different. In the Shafi mazhab, if you're using the jewelry, you don't pay zakat on it. Hanafi mazhab, whether you're using or you're not using, you pay zakat on it. Now the husband is saying, no, you don't have to pay on this. The wife is saying, no, I have to pay on it. So there also you get a little bit, it's not nothing major, it's 100% fine. Now imagine you've got somebody who's out of the fold, you in the fold, that person is out of the fold. How much confusion going to come about there? Then always ask yourself, why am I marrying? What's my need? What's my intention? Why am I marrying? I'm supposed to be marrying to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. If I'm marrying to get closer to Allah Ta'ala, then alhamdulillah. Then I must choose somebody who can be an asset to take me closer to Allah Ta'ala. So sometimes the man, he thinks, no, but I'm bringing her into Islam. Like I gave you that other incident last time, the man thinks, I'm bringing the woman into Islam. She's very interested in Islam. Why she don't want to go marry the Morana? She's so interested in Islam. Go marry the Morana, right? Or go marry the Tablighi or something. Why is she coming behind me? And nine out of ten times. Because the kuffar mindset is different. If we as Muslims with iman, our mindset is gone dunya. Now imagine a disbeliever's mindset. How much more dunya it is. So nine out of ten times, she is looking to improve her world. She is looking to improve her world. So these are just few guidelines. A lot of time now the youngsters, they are asking, you know, they found somebody and they got somebody and she's prepared to become Muslim, and sometimes she's not prepared to become Muslim, but you know, marry a kitabiyya and all that. These are few things to keep in mind before a person decides to go that route. It's not an easy road, not an easy road. Allah Ta'ala keep us all with taqwa. Allah Ta'ala accept the Hajj of the Hujjaj. Allah Ta'ala accept all the sacrifices of the Qurbani sacrifices. Allah Ta'ala accept the Musalla, the Madrasa, and the property that has been acquired across. Allah Ta'ala put it to good use, and we see more and more of Deen spreading and flourishing from here, not only for panorama. Generally, the panorama is where you can see everything. But there's a panorama. Panorama is on top. You can see everything from the panorama. So this place must be a true panorama.
Ameen.
Deen must spread to the four corners of the world.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala accept. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.